7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and it is part three of our AFC East breakdown. And this episode, we are breaking down the New York Football Jets. And,
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
That's about as much as we're going to do with that. But needless to say, we are going to break down the team. We're going to go through free agency, the draft, fantasy players from last year, fantasy players worthy of this year, and then our overall prediction on where we think the Jets will finish on the year. Real quick, again, we are Pony Cake Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Pony Cake Sports, at Pony Cake Tom, at Pony Cake Tim, and check us out on our website, ponycakesports.com. Also, check our friends out on their site, cleatgeeks.com. They write a bunch of articles regarding football, baseball, all that good stuff, and they put our podcast on their articles as well. So the Jets last year, they finished 5-11, 2-6 at home, 3-5 on the road, and 2-4 in the division. And again, as we talked about the Buffalo Bills in our last episode, that number right there, 2-4 in the division, if that is not a positive number, it is not looking good for your season.
Yeah, especially in the AFC East, you pretty much have one juggernaut. We saw the Dolphins last year come out, make the playoffs for the first time since 2008. So you got two pretty good freaking football teams. The Jets are 2-4 again. They have a 0% chance to win the AFC East or make the playoffs.
Wow, Tom, what a downer. And it's kind of tough because from 2015, you look at how they did last year or the year before that. They were 10-6 that year. 10-6, and then you go from that number to last year, and you're going second in the division to last in the division to 5-11. It's kind of tough.
It's due to the fact people and teams age quickly in the NFL. Obviously, they had a lot of things go their way back in 2015, but you know, things age quickly. People get old quickly. They get tired of things very, very quickly. What happened to the Jets? You know, they don't really have a quarterback. They don't have a wide receiver anymore. They have issues. That's what they have.
Speaking on that, let's go into the free agency for the Jets. Brandon Marshall, he left the team. He went to the Giants, of course. Geno Smith, backup quarterback, he ended up going to the Giants as well. CJ Spiller, he went to Kansas City. And that's pretty much it. Kicker Nick Folk, he left the team and he went to Tampa Bay.
Nick Mangold's gone too.
Yeah, correct. Some of the additions that they made in free agency, they have Kelvin Beachum from Jacksonville. He went to the Jets, signed a 3-year deal on that one. I don't even know how to pronounce this guy's last name.
Which one? Chandler?
Ilgiliana. Is that how you say it? I'm not even sure how you say that.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, he signed a 2-year deal for $10 million. He's a tackle. Josh McCown, they signed him, quarterback from the Browns. Is he the answer at quarterback? Doubt that.
He's a stopgap. They brought him in pretty much for this year to be the guy. And
for the next year or two, he's the answer.
Another one they signed is Morris Claiborne, corner, former of the Dallas Cowboys. A 1-year, pretty much prove-it deal right there, $5 million.
He's never been able to stay healthy, but last season for the Cowboys, when that man was on the field, he was playing like a top-10 corner. He looked like that first-round draft pick that the Cowboys thought he was. So hopefully he can stay healthy for the Jets and pretty much replace Revis, give him a quality cornerback out there because they desperately need one.
Couple more additions. They have, Jonathan Harrison, center, coming over from the Colts. Quentin Patton coming from San Francisco for a 1-year deal. And then Chandler Catanzaro replacing their kicker.
Not much. They didn't make any impact moves in free agency. I think the Jets are being real with themselves. They're in a rebuild. I don't think they're poised to make the playoffs, make a Super Bowl run right now. So they're being smart with their money. And they're not making dumb contract decisions like we see a lot of teams do.
It's been the weirdest offseason because I have seen the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets both be smart, realizing what they are and what they need to do. And as bad as this season's more than likely going to be for them, I feel like they have a real opportunity here within the next 2 to 3 years to improve.
All right. Well, with that being said, talking about improving a team, you usually do that through the draft. So let's start hitting on some of those guys from the draft that they targeted this year.
The 2017 draft went exactly the way the Jets wanted it to go. They saw a quarterback go in the top five. They saw a running back go in the top five, and they saw a receiver go in the top five. Perfect scenario for them. They have tons of holes all over the roster, and they really got to choose the best player available on their board, and that was Jamal Adams. He's one of the cleaner prospects overall in this draft, true leader in the secondary. He was a true leader for LSU in college, and I think he's got that chance to be that man for the Jets for the next 10 years or so. He's going to bring the Jets defense a lot of flexibility. He can cover in the slot. He can play in the box. He's good at zone coverage, man coverage, good at stopping the run. He's that Pro Bowl type level prospect that you're looking for when you're drafting inside the top 10 of the draft. And the Jets hit a home run with this pick.
You know, it still pains me to say Jamal Adams, a New York Jet, because he should be a Chicago Bear. And it just hurts. He's going to be the anchor of that defense. He will be a team captain probably by next year. You're going to see growing pains having to face Tom Brady, you know, twice a year. You're going, you know, he plays Tom Brady, Derek Carr, Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, Drew Brees, and Philip Rivers this year. You know, he's going to have a very, very tough test and a very weak defense in front of him. You know, he's going to be asked to do things that, you know, probably shouldn't be required of a rookie safety, but that will make him grow. That will turn him into one of the very best. He will remember his rookie season for the rest of his career, and what he's going to experience this year is why he will be a Pro Bowler next year and years to come. I'm tempted to buy myself a Jamal Adams New York Jets jersey, even though I am not a New York Jets fan.
Yeah, him sliding to six was an absolute steal. The Jets couldn't have asked for anything more right there, so...
In the second round, the Jets added another safety in Marcus May. As good as I think the Jets did with their first pick and not messing that up, I think they did that bad in the second round. Look, I like Marcus May as a player, but I had a third round grade on him. I think they really reached for him. Everyone at Florida said he was the leader in that secondary. So the Jets obviously like those intangibles that Marcus May has. He's great character, but on film, I see a guy projected to be the Jets' free safety who struggles with covering the deep ball. He gave up double-digit touchdowns, I think it was 10 or 11, at Florida that he was responsible for. That's not someone that I want as my last line of the defense. I get the pick, though. They're completely redoing the back end of that defense. Todd Bowles does wonders with DBs, and he's done it in the past, but... I think it was a big-time reach for the Jets.
I didn't love the pick, but I didn't hate the pick as much as you do, Tom. I feel like, listen, the Jets had a plan set in place, and they followed through with it. They're starting, like you said, moving from the back up, right? They still have, you know, Muhammad Wilkerson as of right now, right? So, I mean, they still have that front-end part. They're getting younger in the secondary like they need to, and they're going with high-character, intelligent people. You heard, like you said, he was known as the guy at the University of Florida, the anchor of that defense. He's not going to be asked to, you know, cover the best wide receiver, be on the back end of the best wide receiver, because you have Jamal Adams there. They're hoping that Marcus May and Jamal Adams can work together and become that top duo that basically will shut down Tom Brady and his predecessor for years to come.
Yeah, I agree. Just like you guys said, there are holes on that defense. They needed to fill it. And going with Jamal Adams made sense. And now Marcus May, yeah, he does have he has opportunities to improve in a sense. And I think he can. And we'll see what happens with that Jets defense. So he's going to be on the field a lot. And that's the only way you're going to learn in the NFL. So
And his frame. He has that free safety frame that you want to see, right? That's more likely where he's going to be is the free safety. Yep. Jamal at the strong, 6 foot, 207 pounds. He's gonna put some muscle on. He is, again, like you said, Tom, a little bit of a reach, maybe, but with all the intangibles and what he brings to a team, they needed to, after the Brandon Marshall and the Geno Smith and the kind of the mentality of that locker room, they needed a clean house, get high character guys in here who can build a great atmosphere for the young team that they're going to bring in. Marcus May is that guy.
As much as I was disappointed in the Marcus May pick for the Jets in the second round, I was even more disappointed with their third round pick and Ardarius Stewart, wide receiver from Alabama. Ardarius Stewart, he is a playmaker. Very explosive. When the ball gets in his hands, he could really make magic happen. But looking at the Jets roster, though, I just don't get the pick. I think they had a chance to really add some talent to that defensive side of the football, and I think they really need help there. To me, this pick just reminds me of someone that is going to a car dealership, and they're going to buy a work car, and they end up leaving with a $50,000 Corvette to be their work car. It's a luxury pick, and I don't think it makes sense.
You know, I this was probably my least favorite pick of their draft. Like you said, he does have his strengths, you know, but Alabama's, you know, wide receiver core was very up and down. Ranked 87th in the country in 2016. So like you said, Tom, I think your point that you were trying to get across was looks better than he actually is. You know, looks like he could be a Ferrari when he's got a Toyota engine, but we'll see. You know, a lot of his yardage, 70% of his yardage was gained after the catch in college. That's not going to happen in the NFL. He doesn't have that type of speed. If he did, he would have been drafted much, much earlier. So with that being said, there is a high ceiling for him. Only reason I'm okay with it is the Jets need guys that they can bring in with high ceilings to hopefully develop. And they're hoping to hit on one of these third-round picks, or the fourth-round pick. Obviously, you'll get to it in a minute here. They're looking for guys like that. They're looking to catch lightning in a bottle. And I feel like that was their process, thought process with Ardarius Stewart.
Yeah, I think they may have been targeting Cooper Kupp, and then I think the Rams took him. And then, you know, I look at Stewart, and I just see a couple of the other wide receivers that were drafted after him, like a Carlos Henderson, a Chris Godwin. Those two guys I would have rather taken over Stewart at that
Absolutely.
Spot. It would have fit that offense a little bit more. But, I mean, I understand where they were going. I mean, you look at that offense for the wide receivers. Who's their starter? Eric Decker right now, who may or may not be on the team when it comes around
Quincy,
training camp time.
Quincy Enunwa.
And then you have
Robbie Anderson
that just got arrested.
Yeah, he won't be on the field week one. That's
so now you're looking at it. Now it may be a smart choice of going with a wide receiver at that spot. The correct wide receiver, I don't know. But I do like what he brings to the table. It's just, he's just a little different. So
yeah, if the Jets took Carlos Henderson with this pick, I would be all for it. I would have gave them an A-plus for this pick because I love Carlos Henderson as a player, and I'm obviously not as high on Ardarius Stewart. And the fourth round, fifth round, you saw him add some more weapons. Chad Hansen from Cal added Jordan Leggett, tight end from Clemson. Like we just addressed, they needed wide receiver help. They need more offensive weapons for Josh McCown. That offense is not going to be very good with Josh McCown leading it, and I like those two picks overall.
You know what, Chad Hansen, I'm going to dislike that pick for one reason. It's because his real first name is Timothy, but he decides to go with his middle name and Chad. So shame on you, young man. Your name is Timothy. You own that like a man. But let's go to Jordan Leggett here. He's going to be their starting tight end. He's going to start right away. He's going to play right away. And I love the fact that they're able to draft someone in the fifth round that's going to be inserted on day one, who has a high upside as well. Again, the Jets did a great job of filling the holes that they need with young guys with high ceilings. I love it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Jordan Leggett. I remember watching Clemson versus Alabama in the title game, and Jordan Leggett made three great catches. Like, they were standout catches, super impressive. I like what he brings to the table. He can block as well. He's not just a receiving tight end. And the only other tight end that they have on their team that's really anything is Austin Seferin Jenkins. And when I say if he's anything, we still don't even know what he is. He's 6'7". He's just a monster of a man. But he's not been able to stay on the field either with injuries and personal issues and all that stuff. Jordan Leggett, I have not heard anything personal-wise that would keep him off the field. So I like the pick there. It kind of gives you a safety blanket. He can make tough catches. But yeah, I like that spot for him.
In the fifth, we saw Dylan Donahue go, D lineman, Elijah McGuire, running back in the sixth. Really like that pick. Guy, pretty explosive, very underrated. but it took the Jets to the sixth round to draft a cornerback. They desperately needed some. They got Jeremy Clark and Derek Jones. I just think they waited way too long in this draft, especially. This is one of the deepest cornerback classes we've seen in a long, long time. If they address that cornerback spot in the third round, they could have got 3 to 4 starters instead of just 3.
So going back, you mentioned Elijah McGuire.
Yep.
Right. So, you know, he's been hampered by a foot injury. Interested to see how he comes back from that. That's what really he probably would have been a fourth or fifth round pick realistically if it wasn't for that injury. Go ahead, Tom.
His tape's very good.
Yeah, absolutely.
For a small town or a small school guy.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, again, another high upside guy. You mentioned the quarterbacks. I like the fact that they went 2 corners. Listen, here's the thing that I feel like the Jets did and why I loved their draft. I absolutely loved it. I loved it way more, and I already know I'm going to have a much higher grade for it than you guys did. They have so many holes in those first few rounds. They went with their best player available on the big board. And high upside, you know, good character, smart guys. That's what they went with. Even these cornerbacks in the late rounds, Ole Miss and Michigan, big school, big game experience guys who, you know, tentatively can. You know, Jordan Leggett, again, tight end, big school guy. Chad Hansen and Ardarius Stewart, were they the very best available? We don't necessarily agree, but Alabama and Cal have played in very versatile offenses, have played with the very best in the nation in their respective schools. I love they did their best in their 9 picks to fill everything, to fill all the positions they're going to need. You're going to see a lot of these guys playing right away. It'll be very interesting to see what the New York Jets do.
I just look at it, instead of going with a Stewart in round 3, right? You could have went with Fabian Moreau from UCLA. You could have went with a Shaq Griffin, a Jordan Lewis, Cam Sutton, Tinkersley, or Rasul Douglas right there. Any of those guys would have been, in my opinion, a better fit for that defense, and it would have made a little bit more sense.
Can I tell you, honestly, if I'm the Jets, I get your point, and it makes 100% sense. If I'm the Jets, though, I'm thinking, you know what? In the next 2 to 3 years, we're not there. We don't have a quarterback right now who we think, unless they think Bryce Petty is going to be the future, but I don't believe that they do. They don't have any of the pieces in place to try to grow and try to make strides. That's what this draft was about. If I'm a New York Jets fan, was addressing all of the needs all at once, again, with high upside guys. They got to where they're now. The only pick I wasn't fond of, like you guys said, was the Ardarius Stewart. There were better wide receivers at that spot that they could have taken if they wanted to go wide receiver there. There were Chris Godwin. I don't know why they wouldn't have taken Chris Godwin personally. Yeah. It makes zero sense to me. But they took high impact guys that they can insert who will play. I almost guarantee 75% of these guys to play throughout this season. And it's just because of how bad their team is. They're going to be bad again. And they know that the Patriots and the Dolphins are miles ahead of where they are right now. Draft all these guys, get a base set. They have a base set now, and they're going to be able to go into next year in the draft, drafting probably top 5 in my estimation, and get that future quarterback or get that future running back. Because that's the other problem. They have no real wide receivers, like you said. They have a running back core, even if Bilal Powell is their starter, that is old. They're going to be able to go into this draft now and either get a future quarterback or get their, what's the kid from Penn State, their running back there, is going to be a top 5 pick next year.
Saquon Barkley.
Thank you very much. Get one of those impact guys in the 2018 draft. This isn't a team that's going to be fixed in a 1-year draft. And that's why I applaud them for accepting that and doing what they think is best to fill their team on a broad spectrum in the long run.
What kind of grade are you giving them, Tim?
I'm going to go ahead and just because of the reaches, I'm very stingy when it comes to A grades, whether it's an A- or just a regular A. I'm going to give them a B+ as well. I feel like they addressed a lot of needs, and with the Jamal Adams and Marcus May, I know I'm higher on Marcus May than you guys are, but they are solidifying themselves for the future, and I love it.
No, I like Marcus May a lot. I think when we were here watching the draft, I saw the Marcus May pick. Tom wasn't happy. I liked it. It is kind of weird going back-to-back safeties in the first and second round. It doesn't happen very often. If I don't even know if it's ever has happened. I mean, I'm assuming it probably has. But going with our Darius Stewart and then Chad Hansen after that and then Leggett, I like the Leggett pick. I like Hansen. I'm going to give it a C+. That's where I'm at. Yeah. I mean, as much as, getting Jamal Adams, that's a great, great job. But they should have drafted him if he was there. I like that. But everything else after that, addressing corner really late rather than early, could have taken a corner at 3. And I feel like if they would have taken a corner in the 3rd round or even in the 4th round or in the high 6th round, you could have gotten a Desmond King, I believe he was there. So that's where I'm at.
I agree with the Desmond King, and that he was available in the – what round was he drafted in?
I believe it was late 6th.
Okay, so I mean that one I agree – but still
– No, I'm sorry, early 5th.
My where I'm trying to give them some leeway here is any cornerback drafted at that spot is risk-reward. Yeah. Same way all of these positions. I don't feel like the difference between drafting a corner in the 3rd to 4th round versus 5th to 6th round – Is that different? Because you're drafting a project for the most part, right? I mean, you're drafting someone who has already shown in college that they have some talent, but they get burned by some of the star wide receivers. You're now going to implement them to the NFL. That's why I didn't have as much of a problem with them not taking corner till late like you guys did, because the odds of drafting a cornerback that's going to turn into a star or be a starter for you right away is very slim, in my opinion.
I'm giving the Jets a D- and their draft. Absolutely love the Jamal Adams trade. Tim, I don't give a shit what you're trying to do defending the Jets right now. I think they completely blew this draft. I think in the 2nd round they could have got a very good cornerback there. They were really trying to rebuild, only caring about the rebuild. I would have been cool if they drafted Sidney Jones there. You have him for next year. In the 3rd, they could have got another corner or a safety. I thought Marcus May was a huge reach. Thought our Darius Stewart was a huge reach. Like the Hansen, Leggett, and the other guys. Meh.
I'm going to now be our official New York Jets ambassador for the show. I'm going to be cheering for them. I am saying that 2 years, 3 years from now, we're going to look back, and this is the rebuild. This is going to be the draft that why the New York Jets are on the up and up.
Okay. I just still wish they would have drafted a corner in the 3rd. That's all I'm saying. So, all right, next up, now that we're talking about the impact players, let's talk about fantasy-wise.
Holy cow. I don't know why you guys are even having me talk about this, to be perfectly honest with you, because it's rough. It's rough. You know, you don't really know. Listen, their top fantasy point scorer last year was Matt Forte. We were discussing it before the show here. We're curious if he's going to be on the team. Josh, you mentioned something about media. What's he doing with that?
Yeah, he's out doing media.
Media boot camp?
Media boot camp. That's what it is. He did it last year as well. Pretty much what it's doing, it's prepping you for the next phase in life if you're an older NFL player. And this time he took media boot camp again and has gone a little bit further into that. So
we'll see what happens there. You know, I'm curious to see if he is on the team. I believe he signed a 2-year deal with the New York Jets. I believe. I'm sure they'll keep him because it really wouldn't make sense not to. You at least want to have the 1-2 punch. But I truly believe that Bilal Powell is going to be the number one running back for the New York Jets on week one. Matt Forte be the guy, you know, still catch the ball out of the backfield. You know, Matt Forte still had a decent year last year. A lot of it was front-loaded. He did most of it in the beginning of the season. Had that 3-touchdown game against Buffalo in week 2. But, I mean, week 7, he had 100 yards rushing and a touchdown. Week 8, 82 yards and 2 touchdowns. Week 9, 92 yards and a touchdown. And then fell off there basically weeks 12 through 17. So it'll be interesting to see what his exact role is on a team with no offensive line, no wide receiver weapons. You know, what's that going to be? Who knows? I like Bilal Powell the most out of this running back core. I actually have both in our keepers league. We get 5 keepers. Potentially may keep Forte or Bilal Powell. All depends how it plays out. What do you think, off the top of your head, point differential over under 35 for Matt Forte and Bilal Powell last year?
It was within 35.
Yeah. Probably about 26 if I had to take a guess.
Very, very close, Josh. It was actually within 14.6 was the exact difference there. Bilal Powell with 139 points. Matt Forte with 153.6. So it was kind of shocking to me a little bit, to be perfectly honest. Bilal Powell obviously came on strong. Had a good showing there towards the end, which explains Matt Forte's, you know, struggles. Final 4 weeks, 29.9, 16.2, 7.4, and 19.7. So I think that just alludes to what I was saying prior. He's going to be the guy in New York, if it was my guess.
You're not worried at all that he is possibly just more of a receiving running back out of the backfield? Because look at some of his games. One game he had 11 catches, another 5, 7, 6, 6, 6,
Let me stop you, young man. Week 14, 29 carries, 145 yards, 2 touchdowns. Week 15, 16 carries, 84 yards. Week 16, 15 carries, 60 yards. Week 17, 22 carries, 122 yards. He is that. The problem now is he is a younger, better version of Matt Forte. That's the problem for Matt Forte. He can catch the ball, and that was Matt Forte's bread and butter. That's where he almost led in receptions for the Bears in like 2014 or 2013 for the NFL, like through the, like,
I think first, he had 100 catches.
Yeah, I mean, that's his bread and butter. I love Matt Forte. I feel like he was treated extremely poorly in Chicago, completely undervalued by the organization. It sucks that he got caught up in the business of the NFL. Never got that huge contract. Just kind of, you know, did what he was asked to do and was taken advantage of. That's what you see happen in the NFL.
Well, let's talk about their wide receivers and who's actually going to catch the goddamn ball, because they pretty much have nobody besides Quincy Enunwa.
Josh, I don't even know how to begin this conversation, to be honest with you. So I'll just go off of Quincy Enunwa. Like you said, listen, had some great games last year. Week 1, 7 receptions, 54 yards and a touchdown. Week 7 and 8, back-to-back great games. You know, a touchdown in each, over 70 yards in each. His lone 100 receiving yard game was against New England at home, 109 yards and a touchdown. But a guy, again, you know, he only had 4 touchdowns last year, and that was with Fitzmagic, unless he was injured in some of those games. Who knows? They don't, you know, Josh McCown has shown to be an okay, you know, quarterback at times, but he's up there in age. They're not going to have an offensive line. It'll be interesting to see. Quincy Enunwa is the only guy who I would draft as a backup wide receiver on my team. Robbie Anderson, if he wasn't doing Robbie Anderson things, I might have thought about, but I'm looking for one of these young wide receivers to step up. Is our Darius Stewart going to step up and do something? Is Timothy Chris Hansen going to step up and do something? Who knows? Chad Hansen, not Chris Hansen. That was the guy who, why don't you take a seat? That was Chris Hansen. Timothy Chad Hansen. You know, who knows what's going to happen? It's going to be a rough year for the New York Jets. Jets fans, don't listen to these guys. Don't listen to the C and D grades. Your organization's doing the right thing. They are doing a complete rebuild. And 2018 draft, they got some pieces. They're going to get their core in the 2018 draft.
I just really want to see if Eric Decker plays for the Jets this year. Because I've been hearing rumors left and right that they're going to release him. This guy, when he plays, he's been a top 12 receiver the last 3 full seasons he's played. And one of those was with the Jets. This guy's a baller. And I hope he comes out and helps coach up some of these younger receivers. They have quite a few of them on that roster. I think he could do wonders. I hope he is a New York Jet next year.
Yeah, I'm not drafting a Jets wide receiver.
Why?
I'm not.
What if Eric Decker was there in the 14th round?
Well, I'll tell you this. Eric Decker's first 2 games of the season last year that he actually played in, he had touchdowns in those games. That's awesome.
That's what he does.
Yeah, that's what he does. He scores. But at the same time, I just don't think the quarterback play is going to be there. I don't think the running back game is going to be there, even though Bilal Powell showed that he can run the ball late in the season. I just don't see it. I don't see it being there. I feel like the defense is going to struggle. I just don't see it.
I mean, listen, my thought with Bilal Powell is someone's going to have to score, right? They're not going to get shut out every single game. They are favored in a game against Cleveland, because we know Cleveland isn't, you know, favored to win any games. Going back to Eric Decker, I mean, listen, I know his wife talks about how great he is and how he's got a big wing and posts that all over social media. I'm proud of you, Eric Decker. I'm happy for you. But listen, this is going to be this would be his eighth NFL season. He's had a lot of his injury issues, pretty serious, right? I mean, they're questioned if he would ever if he's going to start the season this year. I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets release him or if he retires. He just hit that magic number of 30. You know, has his whole life in front of him. He's been able to make some money, play for the Broncos. Now had a great year with a couple of great years with the Broncos, over 1,000 yards. Had a couple of great years with the Jets. I don't know. It's all going to be how serious his injury is. Tom, yes, if he's available in the 14th round, you're damn right I'm taking him. Outside of that, there's no way.
All right, let's do our overall predictions for the Jets for the 2017 NFL football season.
I am sorry, Jets fans, 2-14. This roster is one of the weakest rosters in the NFL. We've seen the Jets are interested in trading some of their vets. Sheldon Richardson really don't have a place for him right now. Hopefully they can trade him, get a draft pick. This team is rebuilding. I think it's a full-on rebuild, and I don't think Josh McCown with these receivers and this so-so offensive line are going to do much on the offensive side of the football, and I really like what some of the other teams in the AFC East are doing right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at their schedule they got here. I could see a possible win against the Jacksonville Jaguars, a possible win against the Browns in Cleveland. But other than that, there's a lot of tough games. Bills, Falcons, Dolphins, Bucks, Panthers, Chiefs, Broncos, Saints, Chargers, Patriots. It's tough. And I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to go with 3 wins. For them this year. I just feel like some team is going to underestimate them, and they're going to squeak out another win.
Not knowing, obviously, anything that's going to happen here for the rest of the summer, but week one, the New York Jets are going to beat the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. Remember that down. With that being said, like you said, Josh, I like them having the home game against the Jaguars, even though the Jaguars have improved drastically. They're in Cleveland, like you said. I just feel so bad for the Jets and their fans. Their final 4 games at Denver, at New Orleans, home against the Los Angeles Chargers, and at New England. That's a tough go for any team, especially a team that's struggling. I'm going to put the over-under for them again, like I did the Buffalo Bills, at 4 wins. I feel like the Bills and the Jets are going to both be fighting for 4 wins. That's going to be, you know, because I feel like the Jets can beat Buffalo. You know, Buffalo is not a complete team by any means as well. It's going to be tough for both, but 4 wins is my max for them.
All right. Anything else, guys?
That's about it.
All right. I mean, I feel bad for Jets fans this year, but I feel like you're going to see some of the talent be displayed, and I feel like you're going to be looking to the future in the next couple of years, and it, like you said, it will be solidified. They will draft again defensively next year, and then I think the biggest thing they need to trade what's his face, Hank
Richardson,
and if you trade Richardson, you got to get some sort of value out of it, and then hopefully you can use that to help your team even a little bit further.
I'm disappointed. They need to bring back Fireman Ed. That's who they need to bring back. That's the guy who leads the J-E-T-S, Jets. They need to bring him back. He's retired, he said. They need to bring him out of retirement. I heard he got in a fight with someone. He might have shoved a fan, a Giants fan. But bring him back. It's all right. He was you know, charged with simple assault, but it's fine.
Simple assault.
The charges were dropped. It's okay. Bring back Fireman Ed. He's a staple for that organization, damn it.
All right, well, that's all we have for you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed. Again, we are Pony Kick Sports. You guys can check us out on our website, ponykicksports.com. Check us out on Twitter, at Pony Kick Sports, at Pony Kick Tom, at Pony Kick Tim. If you guys have any questions, comments, or concerns, please leave a comment. Let us know so we can respond, so we can banter back and forth. That'd be great. Also, you can email us at our email, ponykicksports@gmail.com. Also, check our friends out at their website, cleatgeeks.com. Check out all their articles, all that good stuff. They put all of our podcasts in their articles, so that helps us out. We help them out.
And they're replaying the 2014 Mascot Flag Football Championship, so make sure to check that out.
All right, guys, that's all we have for you. Have a good one. Until we see you next time.